attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
It should be clear now that teaching American school kids that they are citizens of the world and we are now part of a global economy is a deceitful message. What the globalists want to do is to con us into a plan to add the poor countries around the world to our list of welfare handout recipients. The United Nations globalists gathered in Warsaw, Poland this fall for another conference to devise language to talk the United States into opening our treasury to the world. This gang of globalists used to spread scare talk about global warming, but when the globe stopped warming 16 years ago, they changed the language to calling it climate change. At their shindig last year in Doha, Qatar, Executive Secretary Christiana Figueres told the world that the real purpose of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change is to bring about a complete transformation of the economic structure of the world. The most recent climate news was Typhoon Hainan that struck the Philippines, but assessing liability is considered nearly impossible. Even the global warming advocates admit that it can take years for scientists to determine whether global warming contributed to that event or to increase its severity. This bunch is still licking its wounds about the refusal of the United States to ratify the Kyoto Protocol. They're now at work to replace the Kyoto Protocol with a new legally binding treaty. It is set for completion and signing in the year 2015 in Paris, France, and to go in effect in 2020. Of course, the United States is paying for all the ongoing UN shenanigans. We pay hundreds of millions of dollars a year in so-called dues, while at least two dozen of the 103 UN members pay only $1,000 in dues or less. Yet they enjoy the same voting privileges that we do.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Chances are you or someone you care about is unemployed or underemployed. At eagleforum.org, in a blog conversation with Phyllis Schlafly, we're weighing the causes and solutions of this national crisis. One thing is certain, more government spending is not the answer. Join the blog at eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Get the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit herbalhealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. herbalhealer.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us, Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
First Amendment privacy is rare. Kryptonite.com has data encryption software for your protection. Kryptonite.com keeps information safe from NSA spying, cloud data mining, identity theft, and corporate espionage with encryption protection giving you 100% privacy in conversations, data storage, and transmission. Keeping your free speech safe from data theft with the best encryption software in the market for easy-to-use, low-cost data security. Kryptonite.com, CryptoNyte.com.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teacher, leave them kids alone.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on RBN. I'm your host, Mark Passio. My website, whatonearthishappening.com. We're into the second hour of tonight's broadcast. Continuing with the extended cosmic abandonment presentation, tonight we are talking about fictional allegories that recount the events of the ancient interference with our origins. And we were talking about the films that kind of deal with the two brothers, like The Man Who Would Be King and The Road to El Dorado by DreamWorks. The Road to El Dorado has some interesting symbolism in it. You know, you look at the movie poster there, and the first words on it is, "They came for the gold." You know, this whole concept of these beings coming here for gold as being some sort of a sought after substance in the universe in general. I mean, you know, this is repeated in the movie we're going to get to in a few moments, Dune, you know, but in that it's the spice, and it could represent oil as well, but it could also represent gold. You have the gold step pyramids in the movie poster, and you have the two brothers, one in blue, one in red. Again, Masonic colors here, Masonic connection, the two opposing colors on both ends of the spectrum, of the light spectrum, okay? You know, you have they're both riding the white horse, and he's holding up a bag of money, the one eye. Tons of little, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge symbolism there. They're the riders on the white horse. That's, you know, biblically, you know, in revelatory symbolism, that's death. You know, there's, it's saying these beings brought death here. They brought, you know, the death of, you know, our potential here if we don't try to undo what they've done. I think there's tons of symbolism right there just in the poster alone, not to mention the film. And I, again, as I was saying before the last break, I think it's definitely a film worth checking out, certainly in conjunction with its original counterpart, The Man Who Would Be King. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 160. Again, you're going to see this two brothers theme repeated once again. And in more modern times, the Thor movies. You had the first Thor movie, and then you had Thor: The Dark World. I really enjoyed both of these films, actually, and almost immediately recognized upon seeing them that this was going to be, again, another retelling of this ancient story of brothers that had very profound impact on our world who came here from elsewhere. Their father, the king of their world, Odin, you know, that would be representing, he would represent Anu. Again, this is all Norse mythology, and it's just a direct parallel to Sumerian mythology. Okay, but these are the stories that are essentially written about and told about these beings and their interactions with our planet. So, you know, in the Norse mythology, Odin is the creator god. His sons are Thor and Loki. Again, in the Sumerian mythology, you have the in the story of the Anunnaki, you have Anu, who is the king, and then you have the brothers Enki and Enlil. And in this allegorical fiction of Thor, Thor himself would represent the brother Enki, and Loki would represent Enki's brother Enlil. Again, Enlil wants to be the one who rules with an iron fist. Enlil wanted to be the guy who ruled with the iron fist, and Enki is the brother who, while he had the most direct interaction with human beings, wanted to see them helped and uplifted. Again, I've come forward and said, in no uncertain terms, do I think that that makes him the, quote, good guy. Many people see it as such, that he was such a great being and, you know, tried to help people. I don't see the whole story like that. I have a pretty dark, negative view of all of these beings, quite frankly, because once you start getting involved in messing with another race's evolutionary progression in the natural realm, you've played the role of God. You've tried to usurp the role of the creator in nature. And so all of these beings were wrong. All of them were immoral. None of them were good guys. Were some of them somewhat better than other in their interactions with us? Yes, most certainly. Did some of them regret what had been done and try to negotiate the situation or mitigate it? Yes. Which, again, in an unwanted pregnancy or an unwanted child situation, that is what a parent or parents who want to try to become responsible would do. So maybe Enki started looking at us in that regard, perhaps. Okay? I have to keep an open mind when it comes to the whole, you know, recounting of these events, that may have very well been the case. Enlil, of course, is always basically written about such that he really wanted to see humanity gone. He didn't agree with the plan from its very inception and wanted us gone up until the point of the monstrous deluge that basically wiped out 90%+ of the population on this planet. Upon pockets of survivors surviving that cataclysm, the Sumerian texts actually tell about even Enki's heart kind of being softened at that point and saying, along with some of his counterparts, discussing the idea that perhaps fate itself or the god of creation itself may have one of these beings to remain alive and propagate for some unknown purpose. And at that point, allegedly, Enki even backed off of his position that all the humans need to go, if you accept those, you know, those texts as being accurate. So, the Thor movie, unequivocally, is a recounting of these ancient stories. And again, it all comes from Norse ideology, which has a direct parallel to, again, the original Sumerian, Akkadian, Babylonian, etc. Texts from the ancient Middle East. So, the Thor movies I definitely also recommend for some allegorical works and, not too bad action line stories from Marvel if you're into that kind of thing from a purely entertainment perspective. But the allegorical content is what I'm mostly interested in. Let's move on to the next slide. Slide number 161 in the presentation is the Island of Dr. Moreau. Again, this is about genetic manipulation. This scientist slash doctor, played by Marlon Brando, basically is creating animal-human hybrids, or what you would call chimeras, by splicing their genes together and coming up with new species. This is exactly the story that the Anunnaki that is told about the Anunnaki. And this movie poster actually has these beings kind of like worshiping this hooded and enrobed being that has like a triangular shaped hat, like the all-seeing eye, you know, this priest class type being, who is the god of the island. Well, what is the island of Dr. Moreau? It is the Earth. We are the genetic chimeras. We are the hybrids. And the caption on the poster says, through DNA experimentation, Dr. Moreau has upset the balance of nature. That's an understatement. He has turned animals into humans, and now heaven has turned into hell. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll pick up exploring some of these allegories on the other side of this break. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening here on RBN. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back.
Come to Finca Baiano, a small community in Panama, which is being established for people who believe that a future crisis may be difficult to survive in North America after a collapse of the system. Go to bugoutpanama.com for more information. There is limited space for 100 people only. Go to bugoutpanama.com to immigrate as long as you can. Prepare. Don't despair at bugoutpanama.com.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now your money is just about worthless. And the Fed will keep printing more and more money. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By buying gold before your cash is worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? Well, by buying 1 gram at a time. This is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65 or 50 euros, you can trade in your almost worthless cash for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars. Which keeps its value and can be stored securely and is easily accessible just like a savings account. But an account backed by your gold. Carat bars International. A savings account you can count on.
Carat bars, the affordable, portable, and storable secure gold currency. For more information about carat bars and how to acquire carat bars gold 1 gram at a time, look for the banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama, 36576.
You know the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening. I'm your host, Mark Passio. My website, whatonearthishappening.com. We're talking about fictional allegories that deal with the interference theory of human origins. And we were talking about the island of Dr. Moreau. The movie poster is on slide number 161 if you're following along with the cosmic abandonment slide presentation images. Again, the story is about a doctor who, you know, wants to improve upon nature. He wants to be God. And he changes the genetic code of many beings and hybridizes them and turns them into human-animal chimeras. And the caption on the poster says, he has turned animals into humans, and now heaven has turned into hell. It's the story of our planet. What could have been sort of a paradisical realm with evolution taking its course naturally, according to the natural evolutionary progression in nature, was interfered with by a group of beings, and, you know, they wanted to be God here and create, you know, beings as they saw fit to create, which was, again, the usurpation of the place of the creator in nature. And this is the argument that kind of went on between the brothers of Enlil and Enki. And Enlil argued on the side of not performing these experimentations because that was usurping the role of the creator of the universe itself. And, you know, of course, they went ahead with it anyway. And that's kind of, you know, what this allegory is about. The island of Dr. Moreau is the Earth. And, you know, Moreau is, you could say, Enki, for the one who actually conceived of and went forward with these experiments genetically. Definitely an interesting film that shows that it kind of it probably isn't going to end well. Let's just say that. To move on to slide number 162, this is The Time Machine. I didn't put this in the original presentation, and I kind of beat myself up over that I had left this out. This is probably one of the most important films that deals with this topic allegorically, because it's about a man who loses his wife, which is about the loss of the sacred feminine, and wants to reverse time. He wants to go back in time to prevent her death. What he finds out is that no matter how many times he, you know, makes it his absolute obsession to be able to build a time machine and go back in time, and when he finally succeeds in going back in time, he finds that he cannot prevent her death. She'll die in a billion different ways. No matter how many times he goes back, she doesn't, you know, he prevents her from dying the first way, and then she dies another way. And then he goes back again, stops that death, and yet she dies yet another way. And the main overarching concept of the film is that once something has happened, it can't be undone. Truth is what is, and you can't change that. It's what has occurred and is occurring. So you can't go back in time and have events undo themselves. And that's part of dealing with what we would consider the linear notion of time. Okay, we talked about how time's kind of an illusion. There's only the now. But in the now, that's where events happen, and then they're written into the record of creation, and that's it. You can't undo a past event. So this is what this film is saying, you know, esoterically, when it's talking about the possibility of time travel. There is no possibility of going back in time and altering the past. The past is absolutely, irrevocably set in stone because of the choices and the wave functions that those choices collapsed onto the present moment as that which has occurred. That's called the truth. So this film is talking about that very concept. And what it, the, you know, aha moment of the film, where the, you know, actual piece of enlightenment that it's trying to get forward to the people who are, you know, watching it for its allegorical content, is what can be changed is the future, because the future begins in the now. And that's what the main character finally realizes. Now, what he encounters in the far distant future is that humanity has basically been turned into a form of food for a genetically modified race, a genetically, you know, quote-unquote superior race that evolved because the moon broke up and they had to go underground, and essentially they developed these different traits and characteristics that made them almost like reptilian slash dinosaur type beings. Again, this reptilian theme comes up in a lot of these allegories as well. Again, we talked about the possible appearance of these beings as having skin that looked somewhat reptilian, fish-like, or bird-like, scaly, in other words, and that may have led to the whole, you know, cults of the serpent, the cults of the snake, etc. The veneration of the serpent and the snake throughout time, religiously. In just about every culture anywhere on the earth, at any time period, no matter how far you go back, as long as there have been humans. So, in this particular allegory, you have, and again, I just want to say, I highly recommend the newer version, the 2002 edition of this film, okay? You could watch the original 1950-something version of the film, 60-something, I don't quite remember, but I'm specifically talking about the 2002 edition, which I find, you know, the one that really has the effect of allegory in it. And again, here's another film, folks, destroyed in movie reviews. Again, you'll see that theme pop up over and over and over and over. When they don't want you to recognize a film's allegorical content, guaranteed, Hollywood, writers, reviewers, film critics, magazines, newspapers, journalists of all kind are going to come out of the woodwork and absolutely crucify a motion picture. If they're doing that in unison, go see that film. Because I guarantee you they're doing that for a reason, because they want to cut off its popularity as quickly as possible so that the vast amount of people say, it got horrible reviews, I'm not going to waste my money, I'm not going to go see that film. And even if you don't see it in the theater, see the film. Download it, okay? Go on BitTorrent or wherever and grab the film and watch it, okay? You could easily find any of these films on wherever you want to search for them online. Any torrent site probably has most of these, Popcorn Time, stuff like that. They're easily findable, you know, if you miss them in the theater or you don't own the DVD or Blu-ray disc, okay? Or you can go and if you want to buy them on, you know, wherever your favorite DVD site is. So my point here is the second incarnation of this film from 2002 is the one to watch. And you can see this movie poster has this very sinister-looking being, alien-looking being, which is this, you know, genetically modified being from the future that is essentially these beings, like, eat the people of the Earth. They use them as food, as resources. And the one race is the Morlock, and then the race that they control and eat and dominate is the Eloi. And what this character, the hero of the film, wants to do is try to free the Eloi from their suppression and domination by the Morlock and try to make them aware, hey, you're not even resisting. You're just being eaten by these beings. And finally, when he recognizes that what he can do is change the future by what he's doing in the now, he steps up into the moment and starts to offer resistance against these beings. It's a very decently put together film, and I think it really shows the whole concept of the predation of humanity by these beings that came here from elsewhere. So definitely worth checking out the new version of The Time Machine. Stay with us, everyone. More allegories on the other side. We'll be right back.
Get the hardest-hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF, P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com. Implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureEffect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureEffect Ultra today by visiting PureEffectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening. I'm your host, Mark Passio. We're talking about allegories that deal with the interference theory of human origins, and we were discussing the time machine. What I find interesting in the 2002 version of the time machine is the Morlocks kind of control their enforcers through a form of mind control. And you'll see this repeated as well. And this is all about, you know, the dark occultists who ultimately are ruling on this world, who are the progeny of these beings that came here from elsewhere. They rule their house slaves, called the police and the military, through mind control. You know, they're just basically telling people exactly what's going on in the world through this allegory. And the discussion that the high-level Morlock, the super Morlock type being, you might say, that is the really advanced one, the discussion that he has with the main character toward the end of the film is very interesting, that he talks about how, you know, they would be even more vicious barbarians if we didn't control them with, you know, through their mind. You know, it's talking about that's what order followers are like. Order followers are absolute animal barbarians with absolutely no conscience whatsoever, that would, you know, eat their neighbors, basically, you know, and exhaust their food supply. It's just, I personally agree with the sentiments put down by the Super Morlock in that movie regarding the people that he's really talking about as being, you know, absolute sick, demented, monster type, having a monster type mentality, because that's what order followers are. They're the ultimate evil. And the movie does a pretty good job explaining that element of mind control. I'm going to kind of talk about that a little bit when I talk about Deep Space Nine coming up. So I'm going to move a little bit faster here and try to go through some of these because I want to get to your calls soon. The next slide is 163, and this deals with the movie Dune, also one of my favorite films, also got crushed in the reviews. Somewhat B-movie-ish. The novels by Frank Herbert are great. It's a very high-level spiritual allegory. The main character, Paul Atreides, is sent with his family to live on a planet where spice mining is the big thing. This spice melange is the huge thing in the galaxy. Perhaps this is about gold. Again, some people see it as oil. You see the recurring theme of beings coming to another planet to take resources from them. This is repeated over and over and over again. And you see, you know, the robed royal type figure with the triangle shape behind him in the archway. Stargate is another film. Again, I didn't put that in this round of slides, but you know, Stargate's another film that has a lot of these similar topics. You know, you have the god Ra in Stargate, who's ruling on another planet and taking the resources of these people, bringing them aboard his ship, you know, ruling as a god when he's just an alien being. And, you know, they travel back and forth through Stargates and ships. So there's so many films that deal with this type of stuff. All have, again, bits and pieces of the story. Different aspects of the story are involved. In Dune's case, it is largely about the resource mining. And it's also dealing with, you know, that you have to actually fight these people on a mental level and change your mental vibration if you're going to rise above and see through all their mind control. So, powerful themes in Dune. I can't recommend that film enough either. Let's look at the next slide. Slide number 164, Avatar. I think it's still the top grossing film of all time, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. But this film just absolutely blew up when it came out. People intuitively recognize the allegory of this film as being an allegory for going into a less developed area, region, a less technologically advanced civilization, you know, just taking their resources by force, similar to what we do to other third world nations, and that's basically what it's about. But it could also be interpreted to be about the beings who came here in the ancient past and took over this planet. Again, an all-new world awaits is the subtitle. These blue creatures, again, that's another big theme in the recounting of these stories. Many of these stories talk about humanity as being blue beings, you know, as being the blue monkeys. You hear them referred to as the Sumerians, referred to them as the referred to humanity as the Lulu race, the Lulu species, which meant worker race or primitive worker. Okay. And again, the humans in Avatar represent the alien consciousness that comes to another world and basically takes it over and exploits the beings as, and their resources. Very powerful allegory. People, I think, resonated with it at a very deep spiritual level, and that's why it became so popular, even though many people didn't really outwardly understand the allegory when this film came out. Again, I highly recommend the film. I think it was brilliantly done, and you know, I'd like to see them come out with you know, a sequel or something like that, you know, to continue the story. But Avatar is just, I think, a great allegory about, you know, one highly advanced technological civilization basically coming in and pillaging a less advanced one. Along those lines, the trilogy, The Matrix, of course, which I broke down extensively in my Matrix Trilogy Decoded presentation, is all about another consciousness ruling humanity and enslaving it. In this case, in the form of AI beings, artificial intelligence, you know, robotics, etc. And again, this could be interpreted as an allegory for these beings keeping us in a state of mind control, enslavement, being used as human resources, exploiting us just as a resource for the energy that they require and need, using us as slaves, you know. And again, the idea is to come out of their matrix of mind control. That's the way you're going to really recognize truth and stop acting like a slave. Brilliant allegorical trilogy. Not enough can be said about it. For people who haven't watched all three of them and don't really deeply understand all three of them, you need to watch them all, not just the first one. The first one is the one that's popular. The second and third are not nearly as popular because they're much less understood than even the first one. The first movie answers the question, what is the Matrix? The answer is control, slavery, of course. The second film answers the question, how did the Matrix basically come to be? Why are we in the Matrix? And the answer to that question is we don't understand the laws of causality, or in other words, we don't understand natural law. We don't understand the law of freedom, how morality is inextricably linked to the manifestation or the lack of manifestation of freedom in any given society. And the third movie answers the question, how do we get out of the Matrix? Which is what kind of persistence and sacrifice is going to be required to ultimately undo the situation that we are in. These films are such high level spiritual truth that I personally don't even really believe that the Wachowski brothers were the driving force behind the allegorical spiritual knowledge of these films. I could be wrong about that. You know, people will disagree and debate that. People talk about Sophia Stewart as writing the kind of predecessor, the framework for this trilogy, and not being kind of credited for that. I don't really know what to make of that situation either, although I'm open-minded to, you know, hearing or reading about it. But the thing that strikes me as highly interesting, just as a brief aside regarding The Matrix that I didn't really cover in my presentation on it, is that when you look at the Wachowski's brothers' contract with, I think it was Village Roadshow Films, they're forbidden to ever do any interviews about this film. Now, why would a movie company forbid the so-called writers of a film ever to discuss the film publicly for like the duration of their natural lives? To me, I think it's because they wouldn't be able to tell anybody what the film is really about, because probably they were just kind of like, you know, puppets put up to put this out under some kind of pseudonyms or whatever. And, you know, again, I could be wrong about that. I could be, you know, not really seeing the situation accurately when it comes to these brothers. But I personally don't really think if somebody puts out a work of art like this, which is what this is, it's a work of alchemical art, The Matrix series, and then they don't ever want to talk about it for the rest of their lives, something's wrong there. Something isn't right there, folks. That's all I have to say. So I'll wrap up on the other side, the allegories, and then we'll get to your calls coming up on this edition of What on Earth is Happening. Stay with us, everyone.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling, and you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
DetoxUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide only at MUSA.org.
Get the hardest hitting rebel newspaper of them all by mail anywhere in the CSA or U.S. For the next 12 issues, send $25 cash, check, or money order to TFF P.O. Box 385, Silver Hill, Alabama 36576.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to What on Earth is Happening. I'm your host, Mark Passio. I'm going to wrap up this segment of these spiritual allegories that we've been talking about, dealing with the intervention theory of human origins. I just have a few more to put forward. Slide number 166, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I would say the entire series deals with this entire concept allegorically, especially once it transitions into dealing with the Dominion, this race from the other side of a wormhole or a stargate. Again, you see the stargate theme repeated over and over again throughout these spiritual, these fictional allegories as well. Not only in the film Stargate, you know, you have the movie Thor dealing with the Rainbow Bridge, you know, the Bifrost, as it was called in the Norse mythology. You know, this is an allegory for a stargate. And the Deep Space Nine station is positioned in front of a stargate or a wormhole, a stable wormhole that connects two quadrants of the galaxy in this, incarnation of Star Trek. And these beings, the founders, depicted here on the lower left-hand side of the image, in orange there, they're shapeshifters. Again, you often hear the beings that came here in the ancient past being depicted or recounted in these stories as being shape-shifting or having the capability of morphing their appearance at a genetic level. And you hear these stories by modern researchers, of course, David Icke being one of the most popular ones that discusses this topic of shape-shifting. And in the film, again, you see this tight level of control over their house slave minions, once again, by pumping them full of drugs. And the drug that they give them is known as white. And what this is an allegory about adrenaline, that the beings that act as the house slaves for the real controlling class are adrenal junkies. And adrenaline is probably the substance that will destroy the human neocortex faster than any other substance. Because when the adrenal response is going, what happens is large quantities of blood are quickly pumped away from the brain to put you into what's known as the fight or flight modality, the fight or flight response, in which case the extremities need to be blood-filled and hardened to deal with the threat. In the case of fighting the threat, fight response, the upper extremities or the arms have to be hardened and rigid with blood because you're going to actually use them for combat purposes. In the example of the flight response, where you're going to try to escape the dangerous encounter with a predator or something else that may be happening, the blood has to harden the lower extremities, the legs, so that you can flee and therefore survive. In this case, the torso is largely, the internal organs are large, richly oxygenated blood is pumped away from the torso and the internal organs. And that's why if you're in a constant state of amped up, you know, high, tension, stress, consciousness, or unconsciousness, as the case would be, you're going to develop internal organ problem, body problems, health problems, and of course the brain isn't going to function properly because blood is pumped, richly oxygenated blood is also pumped away from the brain in that biophysiological response circumstance of fight and flight, fight or flight mechanism response. So this is a great, you know, allegory for the so-called controllers, the obedient order followers who think they're in control, but are just basically adrenal junkies and hopped up on stuff that is probably the most dangerous substance in the world, called adrenaline, that if you're on it constantly, will basically burn your brain. Not to mention burn your health out. These people die of heart attacks all the time. It's the number one leading cause of death in people in the control industry, whether it be police or military. Heart attacks is what most of them die from because, you know, one, they don't have true care, and that affects the heart at a spiritual level. And two, you know, this flight response constantly going off in them, you know, destroys the heart, you know, and it certainly destroyed their brain a long time ago, I'll tell you that much, you know. And like I said, you know, you get offended by my, you know, flat out harsh statements when it comes to things like that. Get as offended as you want, folks. It's not going to stop. It's probably, that rhetoric is probably going to be amped up, if anything else, after I cover this topic. In the coming weeks, much more is to come on order followers in general. I'm probably going to even prepare an entire presentation on the evil that is order following. So just a couple more briefly. This is the last slide that I'm going to talk about tonight, but I do have two other films I just want to briefly mention. So we're on slide 167, which deals with Battlefield Earth, and I'll leave that for last. I want to talk about Jack the Giant Slayer. Just briefly, it's a film about giants, and again, a bridge connection from the earth, the heavens to the earth, in the form of the beanstalk. This is a retelling of the Jack and the Beanstalk mythology, and you know, he deals with giants and having to reclaim sovereignty from them. Very, very interesting film that I definitely recommend for people dealing with this topic. Also, the movie Noah that just came out with Russell Crowe and Jennifer Connelly absolutely is about the factions of so-called angels, the Enlil faction and the Enki faction being the angels that were serving the Creator and helping Noah and his kin versus the angels that were serving Tubal-Cain and his kin, which were the fallen angels, the fallen ones, Nephilim, etc. A brilliant allegory as well, plus a lot of the themes about second chances, can people change, you know, is there good left in humanity, are powerfully brought out in the film. I absolutely recommend the new Noah film. You have to set aside any kind of literal interpretations or traditionalist interpretations of the flood mythos in general, and look at it from the perspective of ancient aliens and interference theory if you're going to get a lot out of it allegorically. However, the film that is the story of the ancient interaction with the beings that came here and created humanity and put us to work as a slave species is Battlefield Earth, written by L. Ron Hubbard of Scientology fame. But whatever else you think about Hubbard regarding the religion that he put forward in the name of Scientology, in the form of Scientology, which was originally Dianetics and then I feel co-opted completely because of the information it was talking about dealing with the reactive mind, and then, you know, it got morphed into a religion to basically get people away from looking at some of the positive aspects of Dianetics. Then they came in with Scientology and turned it into a ridiculous religion. Aside of what you think about Hubbard personally, he had knowledge dealing with the ancient past, certainly, and he is telling this in a future version where it happens in the future, but really what he's talking about is the ancient past of Earth. And this is the film that I think most accurately portrays what really occurred here, or something similar to what really occurred, and probably accurately portrays some of these beings and how they may have looked with their conical-shaped heads and large stature. Certainly like, you know, 9 to 12 feet tall beings, easily lifting men, throwing them around. Very advanced technology, putting men to work to mine gold. This film was utterly crushed in film reviews and in the theaters. Flopped horribly. Is it a B-movie? Yes, it is. Is it cheesy in some parts? Yes, it is. Is the acting hammy in many parts or most parts? John Travolta's in the film, folks. Okay? You know, so we're not looking at this film for Academy Award acting potential. We're looking at what is the allegorical content of the storyline. And if you watch it for that, this film will blow you away. It's as good as They Live, or if not better in many respects. And I love the solution, folks. The solution is knowledge. It's presented in the film that unless we get knowledge of the enemy, of who we're really dealing with, of their tactics, of their mentality, we're not going to make progress toward freedom. An ignorant society is an enslaved society. Ladies and gentlemen, your calls in the third and final hour coming up. Stay with us. With financial